This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fall turns to winter, and with it, contenders become champions.
And the game is over! The celebration begins!
But pretenders become exposed and dreams will be dashed.
Fires into the end zone! Touchdown! No!
Georgia is on the mind of teams looking for a Super Bowl.
Welcome to Atlanta Sightseeing.
Ma'am, in this brochure, it says this tour is crump.
The road to glory is documented here.
But now is the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Sunday morning to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. D.A. with you over the next 2 hours, getting you ready for Championship Sunday. The early game from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome and the Big Easy. The New Orleans Saints, the one seed, hosting the Los Angeles Rams. L.A. has not been in a Super Bowl in 35 years since the Raiders did it in the 83 season. Will we see an L.A. team back under the bright lights of the biggest game in football? Also, the late game, your AFC Championship from frigid Arrowhead Stadium. The Kansas City Chiefs haven't been to the Super Bowl since Len Dawson in the late 60s and early 70s. Can they do it today against the modern-day dynasty of the New England Patriots? All straight ahead here on Sunday Morning Football. We'll have my good friend Bart Scott join us this morning to break down what this means for Andy Reid and Bill Belichick, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady coming up here in approximately 15 minutes from now. Also, a very special edition of Excessive Celebration. This is so cool and so fun. You know, we here on the DA Show and CBS Sports Radio and Sunday Morning Football, we love to crawl back into the archives of NFL history. And so for Excessive Celebration coming up this hour on the show in about 35 minutes from now, we usually play the best play-by-play calls of the weekend. But in this case, since there hasn't been any football this weekend, we will play the best play-by-play calls of previous championship games, which included the four teams playing today. So four of the best moments in championship history for the four finalists here on Championship Sunday coming up this morning on the show this hour. As always, I'm sure you guys have comments, concerns, complaints, questions, thoughts, opinions on today's action. So hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. And we have a Sunday Gunslinger moment.
In football's Wild West, there are winners and there are losers. He shoots from the hip. DA is the Sunday Gunslinger.
We need men like him to make towns safe for decent people.
When you have to shoot, shoot. Don't talk.
Now jerk that pistol and go to work.
All right, let's do it.
Eric Berry is one of the most beloved members of the Kansas City Chiefs locker room. You can make the argument he is the most important leader inside that locker room from an emotional standpoint. Berry is one of the most beloved players in franchise history. Kansas City fans just absolutely love his heart, his emotion, his desire, and of course his ability. This is a guy who is a five-time Pro Bowler. A three-time first-team All-Pro. He was the number five pick out of Tennessee. Number five overall 8 years ago, but he's been unfortunately rendered injured over the last couple of seasons in and out of the lineup. This year, they have missed so much time from Berry, but there's been this waiting and this wanting. Can he be ready? Will he be ready? Can he play when it matters most in the AFC Championship game?
He did practice fully this week, a very good sign that he is expected to play on Sunday. Remember, the Chiefs, kind of as a precaution, took him off the field last week, hoping they would get through the game, win, and maybe he would be able to play in the all-important AFC title game that is expected to happen. So the Chiefs should have their defensive leader.
That's Ian Rappaport, NFL Network insider. Indeed, we have the news breaking that Eric Berry is going to be able to play today for the Chiefs. The question is, how effectively can he play? I don't think it's so much of an effectiveness as it is being on the field with his guys. He's been on the sideline coaching these guys up since he's been injured with this playoff run and last week's playoff win over the Colts. I just think having him in uniform, having him able to go out there and play, yes, there's a football side of it for the Chiefs, and yes, all hands on deck, but I think more than anything, you look around, there's 70,000 people clad in red going crazy at Arrowhead Stadium with the Lamar Hunt Trophy on the line. Of course, Lamar Hunt, the longtime owner and the first franchise creator of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that just him being in that spot with his guys means a lot and give them an extra bump, an extra element of juice. In the NFC Championship game, Sean Payton v. Marcus Peters. The Los Angeles Rams cornerback says, "You want to target me, fine. I got something for you."
I got the utmost respect for the Saints and their head coach and the organization, you know. But things like that, man, I'm going to be ready to play just as much as they're going to be ready to play. We're trying to play a game. We ain't trying to talk about no gumbo. We can talk about all that stuff afterwards. He's pushing, and it's not going to get no further. I am having fun. We talk about it right now. We laughing about it, man. I don't think that is something that we need to be pushing towards that's over the top of the NFC Championship. Let's push that we got the number one team in the NFC versus the number two team in the NFC, and we're trying to see into the Super Bowl.
Let me tell you this. Sean Payton is guaranteed to go after Marcus Peters. And I think part of it is that Sean Payton can get embroiled in rivalries. I think he's hyper-competitive. I think sometimes that does him well. It serves him well. Sometimes it does not serve him well. I think you will see Sean Payton target Marcus Peters 8 to 10 times today in the passing attack. But more than that, I think from a football standpoint, you'd much rather attack Marcus Peters than Aqib Talib. You'd much rather go after Peters, who has been had before this season. If you see Peters and Michael Thomas linked up, I think you can guarantee that Drew Brees is going to be first looking at Michael Thomas today. Don't be surprised if you see, I believe we are guaranteed to see the Saints look Peters' way continuously today in the NFC Championship game. And so thus it's on Peters. He likes to talk a lot. He's got reason to be bent out of shape. He and Sean Payton have an inner rivalry, a game within the game going on, but it's up to Marcus Peters to stop it. And if he can't, the Saints or the Rams are going to be vulnerable on that side, and the Saints are going to keep picking all day. And finally, big news out of the coaching ranks. John Harbaugh will not be a free agent this year. John Harbaugh has signed an extension with the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, it's the best team. T-E-A-M, the best team. The best bunch of guys that understand what it means to have each other's back, to fight through adversity, never be divided for anything, block out all the outside, turn to each other for strength, you know, and be there for one another. That, to me, is what makes a team, you know, and that's the best team I've been around.
That was John Harbaugh just a few weeks ago talking about this squad that went 10-6 this year, won the AFC North, and would go on to the AFC divisional round playoff, or I should say, lost in the wild card playoff, was looking for a divisional round playoff appearance, but nonetheless lost to the Los Angeles Chargers at home because of really how limited Lamar Jackson is at this point in time as a quarterback. But nonetheless, this was a tremendous season by Harbaugh. And I said this all along, don't let Harbaugh leave. Don't let him walk out that door. Don't let somebody else pick him off because Harbaugh is one of the top five coaches in the league. In no particular order, although I would say Bill Belichick is the best coach in this league. It's Belichick, Andy Reid, Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, John Harbaugh. And three of those guys are coaching today out of the Final Four. And the only reason I don't have Sean McVay on that list right now is because McVay hasn't done it long enough. McVay's only done it for two seasons. But I feel like Sean McVay is knocking on the door already of a top five head coach in the NFL. Thus, if you've got a top five guy, you don't let him walk. And I don't know why he and Steve Bisciotti were at odds earlier in the season. I don't know why the Ravens brass and Bisciotti felt like they could move on without him. But because they went on this run this year, because they made the playoffs yet again, I don't see how you don't give Harbaugh what he needs, what he wants. Because sure, you can try to move on. You can try to get another guy. But you're not going to get another top five head coach of the NFL. And he's one of those guys. You can take a flyer. You can take a risk. You can hire a young guy and try to find the next John Harbaugh. But you have the current Harbaugh on your roster, on your staff, on your payroll. Don't let him leave. Smart by the Ravens to re-sign him. And I think because all of the openings had closed, so we kind of knew that this year he was not going to be available, but he could have went into next season as a lame duck and played it out so that next offseason he was the most sought-after coach. Instead, they signed an extension, so at the very least, that is not on the table as we speak. Doesn't mean he's definitely back in 2020. Just means right now there's the contract security so that Harbaugh is not going to be out there in the open market and everybody waiting for Week 17 next year to see who wants to jump into the Harbaugh sweepstakes. Smart move by Baltimore. And interesting, right? After all these great teams that Harbaugh has coached over the years, including one that won a Super Bowl, he said that the one this year was the best team that played together the best, was the most connected, the most drawn together. That's pretty significant about this year's Ravens team, and he's no small part of that. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. When we come back, Bart Scott is going to join us to look ahead to today's AFC Championship game. Of course, he works for CBS Sports. He has been part of the CBS pregame show for years before this past two seasons, and so he has seen the Patriots so many times. He has seen the Chiefs so many times. He has played against both of these coaches. He's played against both of these franchises. We'll talk to Bart, who's always a great quote here on Sunday Morning Football, about the AFC title game coming up here next. DA, Sunday Morning Football Championship Sunday Edition here on CBS Sports Radio.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Welcome back to Sunday Morning Football, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, there are so many different ways you can listen to the show. Why not listen on your phone if you're out and about today getting ready for today's AFC and NFC Championship games by listening to us on your phone using the CBS Sports app or radio.com or Apple Music, all available on your phone. And watch us on any device by going to watchda.com. We always welcome all of our friends across the affiliates here on CBS Sports Radio and listening in as well on SiriusXM Channel 206. So joining us next up here on CBS Sports Radio and Sunday Morning Football is one of my really good friends and one of the guys I love having here on the show whenever we can to pick his brain. He has one of the more infamous moments against the Patriots in the playoffs. It was the can't wait game where the New York Jets went up to Foxborough and knocked off the number one seed New England Patriots in the 2010 season. Now he's an analyst for us here on CBS. You hear him weekdays on WFAN in New York. My man Bart Scott joining us this morning here in studio to get ready for the games. And Bart, let's start here. Did you believe this season that we were seeing a more vulnerable Patriots team than we had in previous years?
This is the most flawed Patriots team that it has been since Brady's been there. Brady's going to have to do more, But the thing is, the field isn't as tough as it used to be. You don't have to go through Peyton Manning anymore. Now you have a young kid that's trying to be you. You have probably the future MVP, but he's green. Can you, is it enough? Does Brady and Belichick have enough Jedi mind tricks to confuse this kid and say, hey, you're 1 year too early. Your time will come, but just not on my watch.
What makes you say they're the most flawed version of the Patriots team we've seen?
Well, they don't really have a vertical threat. They thought they had that in Flash Gordon. He wasn't able to be available. He let him down. They made a trade for him. Gronk isn't Gronk. Although he was worth his weight in gold last week in the running game, he's not the threat that he needs anymore. Anytime you see Jamal Adams, you know, a good young player, able to take him one-on-one, you know it's an issue. So now he doesn't demand the double team. So now he doesn't free things up for Hogan. Because it's really like the Patriots kill you by death by a thousand paper cuts. It's not usually Edelman that delivers a dagger. It's not Gronk that delivers a dagger. It's Philip Dorsett. It's Hogan. But now it's harder for Hogan to be able to hurt you because now you're one-on-one with Gronk. So you have safeties over the top.
So last week when we watched just blow out the Chargers, did you feel like suddenly the Patriots put it all together, or did the Chargers have a flawed game plan, terrible execution, bad coaching?
Well, we gave Gus Bradley all the credit in the world for what he was able to come up with against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
Seven defensive backs.
But he failed to make adjustments when his game plan didn't work. And when I say his game plan didn't work, whenever you see a dude in the backfield with a neck roll, the odds are it's going to be a run. And the run is going to be downhill. And he couldn't adjust to it. And this Chargers team was flawed all year. They're on their backup to the backups and linebackers. And also Mebane, you know, dealing with the death of his daughter, coming back on a short week, not really all the way focused. And then the other two interior guys had no answers. The difference this week is, yes, D Ford, you can compare him to Bosa, and you can compare him to Ingram. But, man, Justin Houston is a grown-ass man. Not only can he rush the passer, he can set the edge. And Chris Jones in the inside in A-gap is exactly what you need to rattle Brady. Interior pressure. But you can't have interior pressure by putting a outside linebacker there because they'll just maul you in the run game. Chris Jones, 15 and a half sacks this year, 6'7", 6'8". He has pass rush moves, but also he has the length that Brady's going to have to alter his throwing windows when he puts that big paw up. We saw it happen when they played the Colts. We saw Nelson, as good as he is, and I don't believe it's not too many better at the guard position, was anchoring and trying to fight, but Chris Jones is so tall that he just engulfed him and was able to still be effective and bat balls down regardless if you're able to anchor or not.
Bart Scott joins us here on Sunday Morning Football, looking ahead to today's AFC Championship game. So you played on teams that did not fear Tom Brady and the Patriots. You played on the Jets team that went up there and won the playoffs. You played on the Ravens team that consistently played them tough. Do you feel like Andy Reid and the Chiefs will be fearless like you guys were, or do you worry about them today in this matchup?
Well, the thing is, I know Andy Reid knows how to coach, and he can go play for play with Bill Belichick. We've seen that before. He's been able to consistently circle the defense. We talk about a couple of years ago when, you know, they beat him early in the season, was able to get to the edges consistently, different ways. Bill Belichick's going to take away Kelsey. I think one of the matchups is going to be, how do I get explosive plays by Tyreek Hill? But what I'm going to do is, and what I would like to see Andy, or what Andy should consider, is moving Travis Kelsey out to the wide receiver position. Because when you put him there, you can't double him, or it's harder to double him. But when he's in line, you can get help by linebackers. You can get help by safeties and corners and all that. When he's out one-on-one, the only help you can get is by your defensive backs, which allows you to put Tariq Hill in the slot, which is a problem because you can't jam him because he's off the ball, and you can motion him left and right. And that's how you can dictate the matchups that you want to get those explosive plays. The X factor for the offense for the Patriots is going to be Hogan. He's going to have to get one of those vertical shots for Philip Dorsett, one of those Edelman double passes or something like that, an explosive gadget, because I don't think the big players are going to be there consistently for the Patriots because they can max protect and block it up and take shots, but Edelman's not a vertical threat. Hogan's a guy that has to get built-up speed or has to surprise you with the play. And I think that Bob Sutton's been with the Jets. He understands that you can't play zone against Brady because he'll eat you up. Death by a thousand paper cuts. You got to get in their face. You got to go man to man. You got to give people help, but you can't allow them space. Space is what will kill Kansas City. And on the flip side, if I'm the Patriots, I have to run the ball because I know that I can't keep pace with this explosive offense. We'll see what the weather does, because I think that even if the weather's bad like it was last week, that's advantage Kansas City, because they have explosive athletes that can get explosive plays. We saw the Colts, which is a fast defense, look like they were loafing or running in mud. It's only because the elements – Tariq Hill is fast. I don't care if he had quicksand and ankle weights on. He's fast regardless. So no matter what, his speed and the difference in his speed and everybody else only get magnified when the elements are different. We remember Gale Sayers. We talked about how he was a great mutter. Well, Tariq Hill is a great mother, you know what.
Bart Scott joins us here on Sunday Morning Football, looking ahead to today's championship game, specifically in the AFC. So the Patriots have been dominant at home this season, haven't lost.
Yep.
And on the road, they've been terrible. I mean, yeah. The Lions smashed them. The Titans smashed them. You had them lose in the division on that fluky, crazy Dolphins play. They were 5 losses in the division, lost in Pittsburgh. None of those teams made the playoffs. Why? How can you explain how different they are home and away?
Well, because you have all the advantages, right? You understand home field advantage is a home field advantage for a reason. But also you have the crowd. The crowd is always going to be quiet. They're very smart fans up in New Providence, Boston, that area, the New England area. But you don't have those advantages where the advantage goes to the opponent, where Brady can't make all the checks because it's hard to communicate. You can't hear. And also the energy in the stadium. Arrowhead has consistently been one of the loudest stadiums, indoor, outdoor, period. And that's real decimals. You know what I mean? Those are real things. This is not manufactured because, you know, my owner owns computer chips like in Seattle where they create something that bounces up and bounces down. Kansas City, all they care about is football. They love football. They're going to bring the noise. They're going to be loud. And Brady's going to have to adjust to it. I remember the last time they lost in this situation. It was in Denver. Similar situation. Von Miller was a game wrecker. He wrecked Tom Brady. They were able to neutralize Gronk. And I think that the Kansas City Chiefs have the pass rushers that can neutralize this offense as well, which means it may come down to big plays, turnovers, and explosives. So Cordarrelle Patterson, can he give you something in the special teams game? You know, you talk about the thirds of the game. Fake punt. We saw a fake punt change the momentum of the game with the Saints. What's going to happen? I can't wait to watch. But I tell you what, I will throw up in my mouth a little bit if the Patriots win, because I'm tired of seeing the same movie.
Yeah. You and most of America outside of Boston feel the same exact way. Bart Scott joining us. My man, appreciate the time. Enjoy the games.
I have no life. I wish you would come over and invite me over, but I understand that we're just work friends.
Don't say that, Bart. Bart Scott, former Pro Bowl linebacker, a guy that was in the middle of that Patriots run for so long, playing for the Baltimore Ravens, who always stood toe-to-toe with the Pats, then also the New York Jets, of course, as we mentioned before, authored one of the great upsets of this Patriots dynasty back in 2010 when they went up to Foxborough and got a win over a 14-2 number one seed Patriots squad. Ultimately, that Jets team lost in the AFC title game. We will see today if the Kansas City Chiefs can do something that so few teams are able to do in the AFC playoffs, win against the Patriots. Although it should be noted, the Patriots have not won a road playoff game dating back until the divisional round, since the divisional round of the 2006 season. The last time they won a game on the road was in San Diego against the Chargers after the 06 season divisional round. They ended up losing on the road in Indianapolis in that AFC title game. That was 06, and then also lost 2 AFC championship games over the last couple of years in Denver against the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning. Those were the 2 Super Bowls that Peyton played in as a member of the Broncos. When we come back, it's excessive celebration, our favorite play-by-play calls. Now, since there's been no football this week, we've got a really special edition of it. We are going to replay the best 3 plays, the best 3 calls of unbelievable moments in AFC and NFC championship history. We'll get to that coming up here next. Damon Amendolara, DA with you here on Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Thanks for being with us on Championship Sunday of the NFC and AFC settling. Who's going to be their representatives in Super Bowl 53 here on Sunday Morning Football? DA with you each and every week from 9 until 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Of course, the West Coast, 6 until 9 and hopefully 6 until 8 rather. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the show each and every week throughout the football season, and we appreciate all of your listenership, all of your support, and all of your enjoyment over the course of this football season, season number 3 of Sunday Morning Football. If you want to hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, you can do so, and it's toll free, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes you could save 15% or more in car insurance. Today, there will be significant age differential between the starting quarterbacks. In the NFC Championship game, it will be one of the biggest age differentials between the starting quarterbacks in playoff history, as 40-year-old Drew Brees takes on 24-year-old Jared Goff. They will be topped afterwards in the AFC Championship game by 41-year-old Tom Brady and 23-year-old Patrick Mahomes. So these two matchups have two of the biggest discrepancies in age for the quarterbacks in NFL playoff history. In fact, there's only been 7 times before these two in NFL history where there's been a 13-year or more age differential between the quarterbacks. 7 times all time in playoff history, 7 times the two quarterbacks have had a 13-year or more age differential. Patriots and Saints fans, you'll like this news. In all 7 of those matchups, the older quarterback won. There has never been a playoff matchup in NFL history where the older quarterback by 13 years or more, lost. So good news for Tom Brady, good news for Drew Brees. The question becomes, can the young pups break through? And I would say this is a different NFL than we've seen ever. This NFL rewards the quarterback more than ever before. This NFL rewards arm strength. This NFL rewards the offenses that throw and throw and throw some more. Look at the Final Four, the 4 most explosive offenses in all of football. So, yes, up until this point in time, older quarterbacks have always won. But I don't know if inexperience in today's NFL is as much of a flaw as it used to be. Because you're watching guys like Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes walk into the NFL. Guys like Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz. Guys like Baker Mayfield and Mitch Trubisky. And right away, win football games. I mean, the moment they're stepping onto the field, they're winning football games. The moment they're stepping into huddles, teammates are going, wow, we haven't seen that before. And it was so rare. It used to be so incredibly rare for young quarterbacks to be drafted and start right away. And that's also what's different in today's NFL. For the first 75 years of the NFL, when you drafted a quarterback number 1 overall, number 2 overall, what have you, he sat. He was a rookie and he sat. And he watched. And so those young guys didn't get a lot of reps. Those guys didn't get a lot of playoff starts. And throughout previous NFL generations, once you hit 35 years old, you were cooked. You didn't play quarterback into your 40s like we're seeing Drew Brees and Tom Brady now. So it's just a different NFL where younger guys are ready earlier and older guys are hanging on later, I think because of health and science and knowledge of how to take care of their bodies. But what an interesting stat, huh? Quarterbacks that have had a 13-year or more age differential. The older quarterbacks are 7-0 in the playoffs. We'll see 2 more of those games coming up today. So we always do excessive celebration, which is the best play-by-play calls of the weekend, except there is no other football besides today. So we have a really cool idea for you that we came up with this week. Instead of trying to dig
for football that's not there. How about we dig for football that has already been played years ago? We looked at the four finalists today, and we went back into their playoff history, and we picked the greatest moments of their championship games. It is time for a very special edition of Excessive Celebration.
The soundtrack of the NFL.
It's intercepted. It is picked off down the left side. He goes. Touchdown.
The radio team going berserk.
It's a floater downfield. Intercepted at the 35-yard line.
It's Excessive Celebration.
He makes the catch. He is in. Touchdown.
So let's start with the greatest moment in Chiefs championship game history. There hasn't been many of these. The only time they have played the AFC championship game was 25 years ago when Joe Montana was at the helm and they lost 30-13 at a cold, miserable, rainy, rich stadium. They had never played for the AFC title game before that. They haven't since. They played for the AFL championship in the final year of the AFL. This was the 69 season. On January the 4th, 1970, this championship game was played in Oakland. It was Chiefs at Raiders. And late in this game, the Chiefs, trying to move on to Super Bowl IV, had a miraculous sideline catch. Len Dawson to my man, Otis Taylor.
Now the Raider defense digging in on third and 16. Back goes Dawson to pass. He looks, he's got plenty of time, throwing well upfield, and it is a miraculous catch by Otis Taylor. He is out of bounds on the 38-yard line. There's a big discussion over whether he was on the sideline when he caught it or not, with three Raiders in coverage. Actually, Taylor was running a pattern very close to Gloster Richardson's. And Grayson was over there with Demaya Wilson and Willie Brown. It was an Allworth type of reception. A magnificent reaching grab. And Kansas City comes out of deep trouble to the 32. Check at the 37 and a first down.
We dug deep to go into the archives for that one. Complete to Otis Taylor. If they had a review back then, I don't think this one's complete. But it's a complete pass. It stands in that game, and the Chiefs would go on to win 17-7. They would advance to the Super Bowl. Remember, they were in the first Super Bowl as well. They lost to the Packers. This time, they would get the win, defeating the Minnesota Vikings 23-7 in Super Bowl IV, taking home their only Super Bowl championship. And it should be noted that that was the last game between the AFL and NFL merger before the next year when it was the AFC and NFC. And the year prior was Joe Namath and the New York Jets, Super Bowl III. And that was seen as obviously the miracle of all miracles. And most NFL fans, NFL, not AFL, said, well, the AFL is still a joke. That was a one-time thing. The NFL is still superior. The Chiefs would cement that the AFL was equals by winning Super Bowl IV, and thus, out of the first four Super Bowls, really the AFL-NFL championship games, it would end up 2-2. In 1999, the Los Angeles Rams had become the St. Louis Rams. And it was the miraculous 13-3 season led by out-of-nowhere Kurt Warner, the greatest show on turf. They were hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coached by Tony Dungy. And Dungy had done such an amazing job turning around the Buccaneers from the Yuccaneers from earlier in the 90s. So this is the 1999 NFC Championship game from the Dome in St. Louis. And Dungy's defensive effort of those Buccaneers teams was amazing. Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, John Lynch. It's a 6-5 lead with 4 minutes and 44 seconds to play. Think about that. There was a safety in this game. The Buccaneers led the NFC Championship game against the greatest show on turf 6-5 with 4:44 to play. But Kurt Warner of the Rams were driving from the Buccaneers' 30-yard line.
Fourth quarter, the Rams trail the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by the score of 6-5. Kurt Warner takes back to throw under some pressure. Rainbows the far sideline.
Long. What a time.
What a time.
Ricky Prohl with the catch of his life in the corner of the end zone. And that would put the Rams up 13-6. And that's how they would it put them up 11-6, rather. They went for the two-point conversion. They did not get it. And so in one of the most curious final scores ever in playoff history, the Rams win 11-6. That's Steve Savard and Jack Snow on Rams Radio. In 2009, the Vikings and Saints played in the Superdome for a trip to the NFC, for a trip to the Super Bowl, looking for the NFC Championship. Late in the game, on 3rd and 15, a tie ball game, just 19 seconds left. If Brett Favre throws it away, they can line up for a field goal. But on 3rd and 15, bad Brett Favre rose up and killed the Vikings.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line. You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
Looking at that play, he should have just held on to it, Paul. He should have. He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
One of the great play-by-play calls in NFL history by Vikings voice Vox. Paul Allen and Pete Bursich, his color commentator on the call. That was interception. That would kill that opportunity. They would go to overtime where the Saints would win it and go on to their first Super Bowl ever and win their first Super Bowl ever. And remember, Tracy Porter, again, a hero in the Super Bowl, pick six against Peyton Manning to sew up that championship. One of the great calls ever. This isn't Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl. And finally, in 2012, this is January 2013, it's Ravens and Patriots who would play some epic contests in that era. This one is at Gillette Stadium. Joe Flacco was driving the Ravens looking for the go-ahead score. He threw corner of the end zone to Lee Evans, who had it in his hands on second down, and it was swatted down by Sterling Moore, out of bounds, incomplete. They could not convert on third down as well, so that meant Billy Cundiff had to line up for what we assumed to be a chip shot field goal just 32 yards out. This would at the very least send it to overtime.
Here comes Billy Cundiff to tie this game, and in all likelihood send it to overtime. The last 2 years, 16 of 16 in the fourth quarter on field goals. 32 yards to tie it, and the kick, look out! Spinning around, did not quite get the laces all the way, but just a 32-yarder. And Cundiff, a Pro Bowl kicker a year ago. Wide left from 32. And the Patriots take the knee and will now take the journey to Indianapolis. They're heading to Super Bowl 46.
That was Jim Nance on CBS with the call. The Patriots would end up losing to the Giants in the second of those matchups between Eli Manning and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. But that was a day, that was a moment where, you know, Bill Belichick and power to that be open up that garage door at Gillette to let that gust of wind come through and send Billy Cundiff's kick like 70 yards left. Jim Nance was far too kind there. That wasn't no good. That was into section 302. When we come back, can Patrick Mahomes solve a Bill Belichick defense today? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.